proceed to item number 8, which is recreational marijuana establishments banning ordinance. Ballot referral. Staff?
You want me to take it or do you want me to?
You notice he's been quiet all evening.
You just go right in.
So I just want to point that out.
These are political decisions.
So House Bill 3400, among the many other facets, one of which we've already discussed concerning recreational taxation, allows a municipality to refer a banning ordinance out to the voters in November of 2016. We've had discussions regarding this particular ordinance, in fact. We discussed whether or not the ordinance should apply to dispensaries, medical marijuana facilities, and so on, or recreational facilities, and the various, there's five pillars, five aspects of these activities that could be banned under this House Bill 3400. You all decided to focus the ban on the recreational components, leaving medical marijuana activities alone. And so this ordinance has been drafted to accomplish or otherwise address the expectations that you articulated to us earlier this year. If you decide to go forward, what I'd like to do is bring back this ordinance to you in January for your approval. We would then start initiating the process of getting it prepared then to refer out to the voters in November 16th. The effect of this, among other things, is that once this ordinance is adopted, you're effectively placing, and it's delivered, or notice of the adoption of the ordinance is delivered to the OLCC, you are effectively placing a moratorium on any potential recreational facilities that might otherwise be interested in locating here in 2016. Until November of 16, at which time your voters will vote on this. If it is voted down, then obviously recreational facilities will be able to be located in here, subject to your various land use code regulations and what have you. If it is ultimately approved, then the three components of recreational operations or activities would be banned. Now, to be clear, this ordinance does not affect, again, the medical marijuana dispensaries, and even if it did, they would be grandfathered in. They would not be affected by this banning ordinance. So with that in mind, I'm more than happy to entertain any questions, respond to those questions. Sean's available. Sean is, again, I consider one of the experts, if not the expert, when it comes to these issues. And so by all means, if you have questions for Sean, I would not be offended if you wanted to throw those at Sean as well.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Should we talk about the taxing one now as well? Should we lump them together, or do you want to take one at a time, Mayor?
I would do them one at a time, because if they're not going to throw on the ballot.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. An ordinance of the City of Lapine prohibiting recreational marijuana establishments and referring the ordinance to the ballot in November. I think I would like to say at this point in time that some of the things that I deal with is the idea that standing alone in the in Deschutes County, or having Deschutes County around us, the voters voted 53.6% to ban marijuana, and so that's an electorate speaking to me myself, and I take that into very serious consideration. So. But I also feel that putting it to the ballot is an important and reasonable thing, because I really do want to hear from the voters about how they feel about it at this stage of the game. So that's my position right now as we begin to discuss it. Stu?
The public that I deal with.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The public that I deal with has been sharing with me that they don't want marijuana here. Medical marijuana is a different story. That helps people get through their daily shot with a little help so that they're not in so much pain. But marijuana is another story, and that's recreational marijuana. And I think that we need to have the voters tell us exactly where they're at.
Stu?
Well, I think we've had brought to us on several different occasions, and at our last meeting, I proposed that it get to the voters, and that would lay it to rest once and for all. I mean, I've heard it both ways out at our business. You know, people come out there, they go, yes, no, yes, no. So we are elected by the citizens within the city. And so I think, granted, you know, there was a statewide ballot and everyone voted on that. But I want to hear from the people within the city limits of La Palma. And I will bind myself, as I am, by my oath, to do what the citizens want. So I think if we let's put it to a vote, and the outcome for myself will pretty much decide it for me. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy?
My thoughts were the same as yours. Because the city had voted to ban it previously, I think it's only fair and right to put it up for the final say to the voters. And so I would agree with this.
Okay.
I agree with it. It's only 11 months off. There's going to be no argument whatsoever whether it goes either way. So it's democracy. We have to do it. And there'd be no argument whatsoever. So I think we can hang in there for 11 months. So let's put it on a ballot.
Thank you very much for your comments. And what I'd like to do now is invite Councillor up again. And we can listen to some input here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I don't live here. What was the vote here?
53.6%.
I heard you say that about the county, but in the city?
No, that's the city.
Oh, in the city?
And the county was somewhere less, you know. Yeah.
It passed in the county in the, 50-something.
Right.
And then it was about, 46 point something to 50.
Right. I've been, my name's Leland Berger again for the record, and I'm a lawyer with the Oregon Cannabis Compliance Council, and I have been working, in addition to my practice the last 20 years, to help end cannabis prohibition. It's really, in the end, it's a civil rights issue is how I view it. The American Civil Liberties Union studied nationally that people who, that African Americans had were four times as likely to be arrested, even for simple possession. Even in Oregon, in Lane County, that was the number, four times as likely. And because I view it as a civil rights issue, I was shocked, amazed, and disappointed when the legislature enabled municipalities to opt out. I'll give you an easy example. There's lots of laws that I don't agree with. I think Measure 11, for example, the mandatory minimum sentencing bill, is just terrible. But I don't not follow it. There's lots of laws that are awful, but we follow them. And it's just it seems frankly anti-democratic to allow municipalities to be able to opt out, which is what you choose to do if you choose to refer this to the voters for a vote. I know that in the South, following the Civil Rights Act, that there were municipalities that didn't like that there was only going to be one water fountain in the town square when there had been two for generations. But there had to be only one because it was a national vote. And here in Oregon, it was a statewide vote. And so I have to share preliminarily that while I understand and respect the concept of local control, and my understanding of it initially is, frankly, that it's similar to federalism, that it allows municipalities to experiment, and in the same way that the federal constitution allows the states to experiment and be independent laboratories. But anyway, so that, to me, that's the starting point. But you know, it is what it is. It is the law. Because less than 55% voted no, there has to be an election. It's not something you can just do on your own. I would point out, and Sean, please correct me if I'm wrong, it's not the only way you could get it to the voters. You could refer it to the voters in May, for example.
It's November of 16, according to the legislature.
No. In terms of opting out, but you could refer the question. Oh. You know, should Lapine allow medical, don't you think?
I think you probably could. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I think you could.
Yeah. You could do it later in the year, is that what you're saying?
Like? Earlier. You could do it at the next election.
Just a
non-binding question. If what you're looking for is guidance from the municipalities, and the reason why you might want to do that is because of the three reasons why rural communities especially ought to embrace regulated medical cannabis. You know, I heard Councilor Martinez mention about, or maybe you said this, Mayor, about how challenging it is to enact legislation when their things are shifting so quickly. And let me tell you, I'm having a difficult time with all the rule changes that have been going on and not knowing what's going to happen in the legislature, advising, you know, businesses about business decisions that they need to make. I mean, I'm grateful that I'm not speaking with them at jail, but about how to deal with the fact that they're in custody, but it's challenging to give legal advice about almost anything relating to the medical or what I prefer to call the adult use cannabis system. But I am working with a group called YREC. It's a yes on for rural economies, and really there are three basic principles that we're promoting. The first is, and the reason why, instead of banning or referring it to a vote for a ban, as opposed to referring it in the spring for a, you know, just a question. The first is kind of a macroeconomic thing. The fact is that, you know, I helped draft 91, and we included in 91 incentives for municipalities to participate. And in 91, we required that people collect signatures if they wanted to opt out, as opposed to allowing city councils to just do it through votes. But we created economic incentives to opt in and disincentives to opt out, and it creates a revenue stream for you, not just from the kinds of people coming and spending money. When you heard from a previous speaker about folks going to Bend instead of spending their dollars here, it's not just dollars on cannabis, it's dollars on food and water and housing and just all sorts of things. It's just a tremendous opportunity on a macro level insofar as creating a revenue stream. It's also a tremendous opportunity on a micro level in that it's a great job creator, the cannabis industry. Certainly, when I speak publicly at cannabis business events, I always speak about the importance to be a good citizen like Green Knots is, you know, and to be in, I mean, I'm expecting in the next year that there are going to be baseball teams that are sponsored by by dispensaries. Early on, before dispensaries were state licensed, every dispensary had a food barrel in it. So I just think in terms of improving the communities, and I think it's important to understand what we're talking about when we're talking about marijuana industries. This is not... This is an industry that's going to be regulated by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission has put out, depending on what size the print is, 63 or 78 pages of rules in addition to the 111 pages in House Bill 3400. And it's a tightly regulated seed to sale, keeping it out of the underground market. I mean, from my perspective, what Measure 91 about was ending arrests and prosecutions. But the purpose of the creation of a recreational market or an adult use market is to end the underground market, or at least minimize it as much as possible. It's not like there aren't people growing and selling marijuana in Lapine or anywhere, but they're doing it illegally. And so it creates a lot of expenses and public safety issues when it isn't in a regulated, controlled, seed to sale, video cameras, no children allowed, inspectors from the OLCC. When it's regulated like alcohol, it's in addition to the economic benefits, there's also the public safety benefit that, you know. It's kind of like people say, well, what about the kids? And, you know, kids are able to buy marijuana, you know, won't kids be able to buy marijuana? No. If you don't allow it, kids are going to continue to be able to buy marijuana. And it would be, as the other speaker tonight mentioned, it wouldn't be tested. It wouldn't be regulated. It could make people sick. So, again, I would encourage you to, I mean, I appreciate the democratic aspect, and again, from my perspective, the people of the state voted, and what ought to be respected is that statewide law. And I thought it set a very bad precedent allowing these sorts of opt-outs, but given that structure, I don't want you to think this is the only way to get it in front of the voters. You heard not for me, but just for me, but from Mr. Green and Mr. O'Day, that you could send out a question to the voters in May, and then things could move along a little quicker. I mean, what's going on is that the rollout of it is that although there was this early sales which you banned in October, the Liquor Control Commission isn't accepting applications until January 4th, and they've announced that they aren't going to issue the producer licenses until late spring, early summer. They're not going to issue the processor license, the people who are extracting the oils, until the summer, perhaps early fall. And they're not going to be issuing the wholesale or retail licenses till the fourth quarter of next year. So even if you allowed it to go forward, there could not be an OLCC licensed dispensary in Lapine until next November. So, you know, without referring it to the voters, and unless you have any questions, that's really all I want to say. I really do appreciate the opportunity to address y'all about this and your patience with me this evening, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilor. I know that we run out of slips, and
got another one.
Oh, do you have? Okay. Thank you.
And there's more slips to be on that table now.
I know, Glenn, you wanted to speak on this?
Yeah. Right, say my name again.
Please.
Glenn Costello, 16179 Hawkslayer Road. I liked a lot of what Mr. Berger had to say, and just to let you know, and this is what I brought up before to this council. Right now, I'm working on a project. Can't tell you really what it is, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. I personally don't use marijuana, but I'm an advocate for it. I mean, you guys know why. I'm working on a project right now, and a great deal of money has been spent in the city of La Pine to create this project. It has put about 12 people to work, which 3/4 of them didn't have a job before. Those people are now going to buy Mart. They're going to all your local businesses. They're eating. They're buying stuff, clothing and stuff like that locally. They're going to the grocery store here. I can tell you that I probably spent, in the last 4 months, I probably spent close to $50,000 at Ace Hardware. The people that I'm working for probably put out probably close to $100,000 in payroll. The thing is, like Mr. Berger was saying, you have to really look at the picture. I mean, they're going to smoke marijuana whether you guys approve it or not, you know, but it's whether or not they get it from the black market, from this local drug dealer, or they get it from a regulated store, like a liquor store, where it's regulated, where kids can't get to it. You know, if you talk about your kid's going to be able to buy it and stuff like that, well, you know, if a 12-year-old walks into the liquor store over here and tries to buy a bottle of whiskey, I doubt that's going to happen. I can just say that the money, the revenue that was brought into this city to the local businesses has been tremendous off this one place. And there's many of them throughout La Pine and Deschutes County. I can also say that in the first day, the number that sticks in my head is $3.5 million. That was the first day of revenue that the state of Oregon brought in from recreational marijuana on October 1st. That surpassed Colorado and Washington combined on the first day. La Pine got not 1 cent from that. The thing is just ludicrous to just watch that money. When you talk about budgets and you're cutting the budgets of the fire department, the police, and the schools, and everything else, and then turn around and not go with something like this that will bring in revenue into the city, I don't understand it. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Thanks.
Thank you. And I think Chris Smith.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
Chris Smith, 16417 Heath Drive.
A little louder.
Oh, Christopher Smith, 16417 Heath.
Thank you, Chris.
Hi. Counselor, thank you for allowing me. I'll be short because this is a kind of a tough act to follow. And he covers all the checks and the boxes. I think it's really important to consider the value of change, and we're dealing with this one issue, but I think in smaller communities like ours, the strength of the community is the ability to change faster than a larger community, and the more you can embrace a certain change, you can make better decisions because you're keeping on moving along the process of finding a better solution than what you have on your hands today. And I've always believed that to get the best result, you need to incite change and figure out what happens and take the best of what the change offered you and then cut the losses of the bad part of it and then keep moving forward in a positive manner. I'm not in the medical marijuana industry, but I am a conservative citizen. And it's interesting what you said concerning the medical marijuana versus recreational. And I can see some validity in what you're saying about patients needing to get their medicine. And that should be the first and foremost issue dealing with this medical marijuana, especially in our community, that the patients get the need, because that's the whole point of it in the first place. At 53% local vote for no, okay, for having recreational marijuana, I believe is what it was, right? That tells me that there's 46% that say yes. And it's a pretty close number when you're voting. And you know what's on the other side? You know, anytime there's a shortage, there's also more people. And you have a due diligence as an organization, as as the council, to go with the majority, because that's your responsibility to represent the people, and the majority of the people generally, you know, should be where the hammer hits the gavel, potentially, you know. But I would ask the council to attempt to embrace change, move forward with finding out what the people really want. I think there's a lot of fear out there. People vote no because they don't want, they're scared of what could happen. There's criminals potentially associated with marijuana, but I think as time goes on, I think very quickly that people's, the way they can see what is happening, they will have an element, a larger element of safety. That's why we have the police department here to monitor these things, and we have the OLCC in place also. And I think that when you have small businesses, which are the wellspring of what being an American really is, he's asking for help in a way. And I don't know him from a hole in the wall, to be honest, but he says in front of you, addressing you, that I have 3 to 5 people a day I turn away. So I'm not great at math, but let's average it out at 4 people a day. And there's 30 days in the average calendar month. That's 120 customers he's turning away. I don't know what the margins of his business are or what that is, but that might sound like a job to me. That might be one more person working in your community that has auxiliary income that he's talking about that's going to turn back into your economy. And this is obviously, you guys are all well educated and understand the economics of these type of things, but I think that's something really to consider. And if the decision is to put it to the voters, let's find out sooner than later, please. That's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council? Any comments?
Sure. I think that's a good point you brought up about educating the public. You have 11 months to educate them of the positives instead of the negatives. So if this can actually work in your favor by putting it off and letting people vote, you know, get the public talking about all this, you know, I think that's a positive. So,
okay. Ken?
I still believe that it's best to put it out to for a vote.
Okay. Karen, any further comments?
You need to put it in front of the people and let them vote on it.
Okay. Stu?
Voice of the people.
Okay.
I mean, that's who we represent, that's who elected us. And I think, actually, either way, sooner or later, for myself, wouldn't make any difference. As long as it's the voters that express their concern and their opinion. So I go either way, sooner or later, as long as we hear from them.
Okay. I will then, based upon what you've all said, is there a motion of the council to move the recreational marijuana establishing banning ordinance ballot referral to the voters?
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous that we implement an ordinance on recreational marijuana establishments banning ordinance and do a ballot referral.
So, Mayor, I'll bring that back to the council in January.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Item number 9 is on recreational marijuana taxing ordinance. I'm sorry. Recreational marijuana taxing ordinance, a ballot referral.
And again, we've discussed this at length. This is the recreational taxing ordinance that's permitted under House Bill 3400. And it was the subject to the subject of the discussion that we had previously in many ways regarding the medical marijuana tax. House Bill 3400 contains an express preemption or prohibition on a city's ability to tax recreational sales except for a ballot referral. That would occur in November of 2016. And this particular House bill legislation would allow you to tax up to 3%. Now, to be clear, you do not have to adopt a 3% or push forward a 3% tax. It just caps any tax that you might refer to the voters to 3%. So I'll turn that over to you all for discussion and input.
Okay. I think what I'll do at this time is actually open it up for comments. I don't have anybody signed up except Mr. Stewart.
I was actually signed up on the last one.
Okay.
This is number 8 on there.
Okay.
My name is Brad Stewart. I live at 15779 Burgess Road. Actually, it's my business address. It's 51343 Mitchell Road is my home address. And I just basically was going to talk about the, I know you guys just already adopted it, so it's kind of, but the tax-wise, I just like to, you know, consider, you know, not, you know, imposing a tax, you know, and basically, or at least keeping it a fair tax and not getting, you know, overly, you know, rambunctious with it, you know, being considerate of the other taxes that are going to be coming into play with across the board with the industry. And you know, there's going to be quite a bit of taxes altogether, so I'm just asking that you keep it low. I know that there's going to be a tax. I mean, I can fight it and say no, but there's going to be, but just keep it low, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, not seeing anybody else signed up.
May I speak, Mayor?
Yes.
Okay. And this kind of regards the ban on recreational commercial establishments. Matt Topher, 15760 Jack Pine Road.
Okay.
On the establishments, does that mean retail establishments, commercial grows, processing centers?
Mm-hmm.
What does that entail exactly?
It's. Would you like me to respond to that? It's the producers, processors, wholesalers, and retailers.
Okay, so you guys are going to ban that all of next year until the November vote?
It's good. Well, effectively, a moratorium will be imposed.
Okay.
So no licenses for those particular operations would be issued.
Until the November vote?
Correct.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
All right.
Jeremy, does that include industrial type grow operations?
Grows are not addressed.
Production.
That's what I agree.
Still talking about production.
Production
in the industrial part.
The adult use production is covered, but the medical production is not.
Right. Correct. And that's A right there.
I'm asking you, just tell me what.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It would ban?
It bans marijuana producers, the recreational producers. It bans the recreational marijuana processors, the marijuana wholesalers, and the recreational marijuana retailers.
Well, we need to, I mean, I think that's important to discuss, because if you're going to have an ordinance drawn up that we're going to put in November, mm-hmm. we have grow operations in our industrial park now. I don't, again, you're telling me, huh? They're medical, but we've got three different groups talking to us about wanting to go into the industrial park to buy land, put up buildings right now. And if you remember, those of you on the LED committee, Stu, you were there.
I'm listening.
So was the mayor. The LED committee, and I asked them point blank, which is our Lapine Industrial Group, the Lapine Industrial Group. I asked point blank if we have inquiries about commercial growing operations in the industrial park. Did you want us to, you know, be warm to them?
Right.
or be cold to them, and that's the terms they use. But, you know, is it something that they were okay with staff pursuing and or talking with? And it was unanimous. I believe maybe one person didn't like it, but I think out of the 10 people there, I mean, it was unanimous that they did think for growing operations, wholesale growing. Again, that's why we got all these attorneys here. You know, they cut it, they put it in a package. I don't know if that's meeting the definition of what you just approved or not. Because if you're going to put that up for a vote, because you might want to remove that part of it.
I'd like to add one thing too, because the industrial grows, the wholesale, the production, none of the product that they're growing is going to end up for sale in your community if you're to ban the retail side of it. So it'll all go outside of the community as far as the wholesale part of it. So they could supply jobs for LaPine and supply Bend.
The question is coming from us. We need to know this because we have people right now. I mean, I'm giving prices to people on, and you know, these aren't people that have crawled out from underneath the bridge. I mean, these are reputable business people who would like to build buildings and rent it out or produce, and they're wanting us to give them prices on leasing and buying, and we're doing that. So if we're gonna maybe put that to a vote in November, they don't want to buy, and they're certainly not going to build a building.
What we can do in the interim is, I don't have all the ins and outs or the details of these prospective businesses.
Well, they're growing.
Understand.
They're not selling it there. They're growing it.
Correct.
That's.
And so what we can do is we can look at the proposed ordinance, the scope of the ordinance. Rick and I can discuss what operations are going on, what intended operations.
Maybe, Jeremy, we need to find from them if they want to ban that.
Yeah, well, I think I'd like to ask the council if we'd like to table this motion, this item at this time, and...
But it was part of your resolution.
No, it's not. No.
Not
at all.
Okay, I think you need to give a direction, because you're going to be drawing up a...
I just did. My
well, don't say you need to give us direction.
No, okay. I know. My suggestion would be that we analyze it between the two of us, apply it to the scope of this proposed ordinance, and then when we come back to you in January, we will let you know to what extent the ordinance will impact these proposed and prospective businesses.
Jeremy, I'd like to hear from the council whether or not they are okay with, so then you know what to draw.
That's fine.
That's why we're here, because we're going to vote on this in January. We don't. Otherwise, you're going to come back in January, and then it's going to be February.
Let's finish this, please.
I mean, Mayor, that's what I would like to know. Staff needs to know. We have people tomorrow we're talking to. We need to know, just in general. Just like you did, we knew a month ago that you guys wanted to pass what you did tonight. You wanted to refer the recreational sales. You know, you wanted to refer it to the voters, right? You said that in a work session. You didn't vote on it, but you gave us direction. I would like to get direction that you, as a council, are either comfortable with commercial, industrial, growing operations in our industrial park, where they don't sell it, they don't retail it.
Okay. Let me ask the council. And Stu, go ahead.
As representative to the LaPine Industrial Group, that this is what Rick was talking about, that was brought up at the board meeting of the industrial group. And the board members, I believe Rick is correct, all stated that because it is a growing operation in an industrial park, that would benefit the city by allowing that. So that was a recommendation given at the LaPine Industrial Development Organization. And as a representative, personally, I agree with it. So that's where that organization is coming from. So now it's in the council's.
Yeah. Let me say it this way then. I think we need to make a decision to give staff the direction. And the question is, and I think Mr. Stewart said it very plainly about, you know, growing it here and it gets packaged and it's gone out of town. And there is jobs and money locally. So the question is, do we want to give the staff the direction that, from an economic standpoint, we would not want to ban industrial growth operations in the city of Laponia.
I personally think, to answer this on the spot, we need another work session so we can discuss things like this. You can't just say, do you want to allow all these buildings in the industrial park? That's unfair to even ask this until we put some thought, ask questions like what took on part at that meeting and Stu went to. So I'm not gonna even.
Okay. Until to I have me, it's very contradictive. I don't like it. If we're gonna do it, I think we need to do it completely as it's written, at least to that time.
Okay.
Well, I personally think I need more information. I personally think that Jeremy and Regan are the people to get us the information. So I think we should table this until they bring us back more information.
Okay.
To the January meeting, is that what we're...
Then we won't do an ordinance then.
No, that's fine. I mean, there'd be no reason to. We could do it. We have 2 meetings in January, correct?
One meeting and work session.
We could throw
it
in.
We can throw it.
So Okay. Let's do it that way.
All right.
Yeah, that works.
Then I would entertain a motion by the council to table item number 9 until our next...
The tax is what you
We're talking about the tax, not the banning ordinance.
Really, the question we just raised is really the first one you voted on.
That's correct.
So the
tax is separate. What we did is we went backwards. You all started re-engaging the discussion about the banning ordinance when we were discussing the taxing ordinance. And so at this point in time, you can talk about the taxing ordinance and give us direction on the taxing ordinance, because presumably to some extent it doesn't matter with respect to these particular operations
right. As
it relates to the tax.
Because they're not collecting a tax, they're not selling it.
Correct.
Okay. So you're right.
So if you want to be procedurally correct, let's go back. Let's postpone the motion to go forward with the ordinance. Remove it. We'll bring an ordinance back, but we'll more or less have the dialogue in January about the results of our discussions and research. And then in the meeting in January, you can give us a directive to move forward with the banning ordinance or not. Everyone understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe a motion to rescind right. the motion moving forward with the banning ordinance would be appropriate. Okay.
Is there a motion to remove the banning ordinance? A motion repealing the banning ordinance.
Do you need to do that? Because it hasn't been drafted yet, really.
It's fine. So I was just trying to give clarity to folks and frankly the paper and what have you, what's going on. Make a motion to repeal the directive to staff to bring back a banning ordinance in January at this point in time.
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Now, we're back to the taxing ordinance.
Opposed?
Sorry.
It's passed unanimously.
So that's off the table. We'll bring back our research results to you in January. Issue number 2 is the taxing ordinance. Quite frankly, let's move on. I don't see the reason to discuss the taxing ordinance today. We might as well deal with it when we deal with the banning ordinance in January.
Okay. Is there a motion to table the taxing ordinance until a later time?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. So, item number 10 then on the agenda is approval of a new phone and software for City Hall.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I get to present. I never get to do that. So in your added agenda item package, there was a staff report from me, along with a letter from Bill Scally, and an email from Deborah Dale at Bentel Incorporated. I tried to solicit quotes on something other than Bill's quote, and I heard from Bintel that they could replace our entire phone system, which we don't need. We just need one phone and new software. The benefits of changing the software and updating it will be that we will do our old phone system now. Bill won't do the contract person, and our software is not supported anymore. So Bill quoted us, I don't know my math, right now, around $1,500, which is a little more than that, but it won't be done again for a very long time. We've had these phones since we got here in 2011. So I'd just like you to approve that, if you wouldn't mind, or discuss it. Any questions?
Well, I agree with having a lot of complaints that people can't hear what we're doing up here, and I think it's something that
needs to be done.
We're talking about telephones.
Oh, okay.
The new telephones.
I thought it was a combination.
Oh, yes.
No, this is only
the sound system.
Personally, I think a recommendation by staff that we need to upgrade our telephone system is telling us that we need a new phone system or an updated phone system. And I recommend that we do it. Is there a motion?
So moved. I think their recommendation is adequate enough for me.
It's moved. Seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Liquid utility accounts.
Oh, right.
So in your packet you have a spreadsheet. There's two big black boxes on it that have blacked out names.
Oh, right.
The top, we're going to talk about two things here. The top accounts, we can't collect. People have sold their homes and left past due balances. Owners didn't pay tenant balances. A lot of these have gone on. You know, I don't note it as much as I should, but you can see in the list, some of them are clear back to 2012. Some of them may even go farther back than that. With our new ordinances that we adopted in July, we have new procedures to collect these accounts. So the first half, I believe, I'll have to bring you back a resolution to write those off since it's monetary. In January, if you're comfortable with that. I don't know what else we could possibly do with those besides write them off. The second section of this are accounts that I'm going to lien through Deschutes County so those amounts can be collected when the property sells, which is also allowed in our ordinance, our new ordinances. So this is just kind of how the process is going to go from here going forward. We won't ever have one like this again. It'll be much smaller and probably one or two, maybe a year. So this is our bulk one. We have to deal with it now, and then after that, it should be smooth sailing from here, I think, with the new ordinances we adopted.
Some of these, like 4,000 something,
mm-hmm.
When they sell a house and they try to attach that on top, is there any type of arbitration going on that they pay over just half of that, or is it the full amount?
No, once they lien them, it's the full amount, I believe. That's a good question.
I'd just like to say, I look back here, home sold in 2012, 2013, I'd like to hear why this gets so far out, and we get in this position. I'm taking it for granted. I heard you say that we now have software in place to
we have ordinances in place.
When
we adopted the new ordinances in July, it helped us correct these problems. We've talked about these sometimes. And it has to do with, in the old ordinances, water and sewer charged regardless of occupancy. So these people would their house would foreclose, they'd collect a bill, they'd go through all the processes, but we're not on a lien report. So the house sells to the new owner, we can't collect it from the new owner without it being on a title report.
We were using the district rules, remember, up until July. So when we took over the districts of July 1st of 2012, we inherited
A, anything prior to that, plus we inherited all their ordinances because we just moved them forward. And so, you know, you're unfortunately, I guess it's kind of part of transition. Sure. Jeremy and I were talking about some other issues involved. But you're taking over a business with multi-million dollars worth of assets and hundreds of customers, and you know, we are trying to clean up some of these little things. We, in the past, you know, they were charging people even if you didn't have a sewer hookup. And then the people that in lieu of an SDC, all those things have gone away. So, you know, it's, you have to kind of look at this and say, okay, what are we going to do? There's probably very little chance of collecting on some of those. And, you know, so you just kind of have to move on.
And I would share with you that Brenda and I discussed this at length, probably a couple months before we brought this to you. And she was more than comfortable with the amount here. She doesn't feel like it's exorbitant at all.
So from now on out, the second half of these, from here on out, all everything will have liens on them.
Yes.
Not like
as it happens. It won't happen like this. And they won't get this high either.
Right.
They'll
won't hook them up.
Yes.
So you're going to have a limit.
They have to pay.
Well,
to lien
once they shut their water and sewer off, we stop billing them. We can lien them.
Okay.
We also have other avenues for people like in foreclosures.
Because you got one down here over 4,000.
Yes.
We're making landowners sign now. So, you know, a lot of these get into tenants and things. You have tenants who don't, and then you try to go collect from the landowner, you know. So now we make the landowner sign and the tenant. And if the tenant doesn't pay, we make the landowner pay. And they know that because they've signed a deal. If they're worried about getting paid, they can up their rent.
Yeah.
But we're not going to write off the tenant's bill. The landowner's going to pay it, or we won't hook it up to the next tenant.
Yeah.
Stu, your comments?
Well, I love the way they have it set up now. I agree with that 100%. I think, like, just move forward, start now.
Karen?
Okay.
Is there a motion to approve the process the city has presented to us?
So moved.
Been moved?
Second.
Seconded? Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
It's opposed? It's unanimous?
So we will have a resolution for you for the write-off amounts, not the lien amount, in January that you'll approve, and then we will start with the cleanup.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
The last three that I mentioned in FDCs upon new construction, so mm-hmm. will they be held over in a sense to try to collect later?
No, whenever they decide they're vacant lots, and whenever someone decides to build on them, they will get assessed SDCs.
Oh, okay.
They'll start fresh. Okay. So that's what we're going to do with them.
If they're vacant lots, how do they get sewer and water?
Because the district's charged sewer and water to vacant lots in lieu of SDCs. And
okay.
So
okay.
It really all goes back to those old processes.
Okay.
And I could tell you a story about probably each one of these that would take 5 minutes.
That's okay.
And it's not worth the time.
That's okay.
That.
That's okay.
So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. So it is okay, the other matters, 11A and 11B, so 11A.
This is should be real quick, just the John C. Johnson building sits on county land, has nothing to do with the city, really, other than they just like us to sign off. The county is fine with it. Where it sits, you obviously aren't going to tear it down because of that. It's not in the road, it's just on right-of-way. And so, it's already been signed by the Parks District, and the county put this together. So if you guys would approve for myself to sign the agreement on the John C. Johnson building, the right of way.
Okay, so is there a motion to allow the city manager to sign the agreement of the John C. Johnson building right of way issue?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. And item number 11A, B.
The sound system, we talked about it at a work session. This sound system really hasn't worked very good. And so we had one quote a year ago that was very, very expensive, and some of you didn't want to spend that much. And there's another firm that does meeting rooms, and they say we can use our existing wiring because it's obviously Cat 5, getting technical, but and the rack and some of these other things. So what we want to do is go out for proposals, and I have an estimate already, and it's those guys were wanting $18,000 to $20,000 for a whole system, and it'll be under half that or something. It is expensive, but these mics they'll put speakers in here, and you get into the feedback. That's why the speakers are all out there, because you've got speakers behind you. Normally you get feedback, but these nicer systems, none of that happens. It controls. You don't have to worry so much about two or three mics being on at one time. There's also a red light. When you're talking, that red light's going to be on. You see these at the legislature, and many of the cities have those. So it's a much more professional system that people will actually be able to hear it magnified back there, and they'll like it. And they'll come in and set it up, get it all running, teach us all how to run it. So we'll put out, this is just a request to put out for proposals to get prices in, so that we could do something this early spring, late winter, get this fixed. But we'll use as much of the current system as we can. The problem is the equipment and the mics.
Okay. Is there a motion to allow, or if there's discussion? Any discussion? That was a good, okay. Then is there, oh, I'm sorry.
One question. Will the new one be able to record so we don't have to have a tape recorder?
Yes. Yeah, the problem is these don't work well enough that it won't go in, so this will go in.
There'd be areas that where it just be blank, for a while.
Yeah, so okay. We'll have to go right into the computer.
Okay. Is there a motion to allow staff to submit a...
It's RFP.
RFP for the new sound system.
Moved
and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved. And we are down to our public comment time. Is there anybody who would like to make public comment?
I wanted to just make, my name's Brad Stewart. 51343 Mitchell Road. I just wanted to kind of go back a little bit and just kind of just explain the categories in the recreational, this whole 9-1 thing. And there's four different categories. There's the production, there's the processing, and then there's a wholesale, and then there's a retail license. So in an industrial area, you'd find yourself as growers and extractors, basically processors. And these companies, these businesses will basically have an incredible amount of utility bill. They'll have an incredible amount employees, and these employees will spend their money within the county and within the cities, and basically, I don't want to go too far, but I just want to explain that there are four categories, and you do have the option of opting out of 1, 2, 3, or all four. So I am one of those people that is considering spending my money and going and spending and setting up an industrial professional, regulated by the OLCC facility. And it's not an easy regulation to keep up to date. I'm very up to date with the laws and what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do. And I just want you to consider very much talking to me or other growers that are planning on doing that, and just getting an understanding of what we're wanting to do, so that way you guys know where we're at, because it's a lot of you guys don't really understand the industry, but you don't really understand it until you see it. And at any time, you can contact me and ask me any questions. The other thing to really consider, is for the first day of some of these companies, for the first months, for the first weeks, years, You know, it's the most important ones. It's what makes a company, you know. It really helps, I guess, how to explain it. But so if we were to opt out, these companies probably wouldn't even come here and probably wouldn't even build anything until we know which direction the voters are going to go. So you're prolonging them from spending the money here. So basically, how to explain it now. If you do that, and then the voters do say, okay, we want to allow these facilities, already we're behind the ball by a year to set up, to build these facilities that they want to do. So you're pushing us back 2 years by doing this, not just 1 year. So before we can actually get opened up and the OLCC is going to license us. And to be told, even if you don't allow these in your cities, even if you don't allow it, they're still here doing the same thing that they would be doing if they were able to get that product in their material. If they were able to go to the store, they're still going to go to Ben, they're still going to come here, they're still going to drive, they're still going to eat food, they're still going to do everything they're doing right now. So, and what's going to happen is that first year of tax revenue is going to be the highest. It's going to spike in that first year, and then it's going to go down. It's going to slowly go down, and the revenue is going to go down. So in order to get that initial boom of money for your city, you need to be first. You can't wait. You have to embrace it, have to accept a little bit of change and work with some people that have, you know, we're good people, you know, just because, you know, we get the munchies, that's a side effect. It's not the, you know, let's smoke some meth and then now we're going to go out and steal something. These people want to smoke some weed, sit on their couch. They don't want to go out and cause crime and you know, wreak havoc on people. We're respectful people. Yes, there are people that mix drugs, meth and weed, and that's I don't agree with that saying, but there's are responsible adults that work in our community that you wouldn't even know it, but they smoke every day, and there's professionals. I mean, I don't want to keep going. I appreciate your time. Thank you very, very much, and have a great day.
Thank you. Okay.
Say something. One of the things that I was going to make a suggestion on that resolution that's going to come back in January, if you're going to allow the production of marijuana in the city, I would you put in some kind of language that it's limited to the industrial park only, no place else, because otherwise they'll take advantage of it and they'll have it anywhere they can. So if you can word it that way, that would be a better thing to go. The other thing is, I checked with our two esteemed lawyers here. One is more than the other because he's in the Army. Sorry, Jeremy. from what I, when he was talking up here, and I checked with him, the most you can get for tax is 3%. The state gets 17%, and 10% of that money comes back. I'm presuming it's divided up to all the cities. How they do that, I don't know if it's population, sales, or what. So, in essence, the city's not going to get that much. If you only got $6,000 at 5% on medical, and how long was that?
6-7 months.
Yeah. You're not going to get that much from the recreation. So that's another thing that's an argument, you know, against it that can be used if you want to.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
I've got a question comes to mind. That, so we heard that production, processing, wholesale, and retail. Is that I'm just going to ask staff to do this for me. Does that mean that we can do 3% at each one of those categories?
What do you mean 3%?
3% tax on each one of the categories.
Only on the actual sales.
Okay.
You're not taxing the wholesalers necessarily, or the producers rather, processors and things like that. You're taxing the actual
when they sell it in Utah.
Transaction.
Oh, okay.
The retail.
But, yeah. Okay, all right. Good.
Yeah. Can't get 3% of each stock long way. and it is important just for it. We don't share, I believe this is true, we do not share in the tax if we don't allow recreational dispensaries.
Eventually you're phased out.
Exactly. Just so that you know, if we don't have any recreational, we don't also get the tax from everyone else.
That's right. Mayor, members of the council, Sean O'Day, legal counsel for
believe, Morgan cities. So the way that the statute is written, that if you opt out of any of what amounts to six different licensees, then you will not receive any of the state shared revenue. That is correct. In the distribution formula, the way it looks right now, and this is one of the things that the legislature is looking at, we're advocating for change in this area, is that 10% of the 17% state tax will go to local governments, will go to city governments, 10% to counties, 10% cities. That is after the state nets its cost. And right now there's a substantial loan that has been made to the OLCC to set up the recreational program. There's a lot of wild estimations as to how much money may be brought in, but at least for that first year, some calculations are saying that there will be very little, if any, money being distributed after the state pays back that loan. Within that 10%, the way that it works is for the first year of distributions, it'll be on a per capita, per population basis, and then after that, it'll be based upon the number of licensees that you have within your community. But again, if you've allowed one licensee type but banned the others, you won't see anything. The state laws, it's if you're out of one, then you're out on all the revenue.
And of that, after July 1, 50% would be distributed based upon the number of producers, processors, and wholesalers, and 50% distributed based upon the number of retail licensees. So it's further broken out.
So if we allowed all of it except retailers,
we wouldn't get
anything.
That is okay. Correct, Mayor.
That's a good point.
All or nothing proposition.
Okay, that's a good point, Council.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you very much. Staff comments?
Whoops, late night.
Okay. Council comments?
Sure.
Okay.
I love the input from everybody here. I think that's what we Nora. It was respectable. It was nice. That's how you learn. And I want to talk to anybody that wants to talk to me, because I like to learn about this stuff.
Okay. Let me see, 16 mayor's comments. I got about two pages here I want to read, but I won't. And I'll ask for motion to adjourn. So moved.
Seconded.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.